My name is Noah.
My name's Eddie.
And today we are looking at 1998.
The Truman Show.
Directed by Peter Weir, starring Jim Carrey, Laura Linney, Noah Ed Emmerich, Ed Harris, and many more.
What's keyboard artist number one, the like sixth person in the cast list? There's characters, and on Google, like, the number one guy who comes up is Philip Glass, keyboard artist number one.
But Philip Glass did the music for this.
He's not even in the cast. Paul Giamatti's in this movie. I feel like if we did like a roundup of the most watched people, Paul Giamatti is going to be on
and
there.
You wouldn't even see it coming.
He's just in the most random like roles.
I will just be watching a movie and then, oh, Paul Giamatti. Okay, like, cool. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying when you go.
It gets to the point where I gaslight myself that I'm seeing Paul Giamatti in movies. I watched this movie called The Mastermind, which is so slow and kind of terrible.
I loved it.
Well, it's just so slow. It's fine, but it's quite indulgent. But I thought Paul Giamatti was his dad. I was like, oh my god, it's Paul Giamatti. It was not Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, like, when was the first time you saw this film?
I was 11.
Yeah.
And my parents weren't home. And I was like, I can finally watch The Truman Show. So I watched the whole thing. I was like, that's pretty good. And then, like, nothing happened. I didn't go into the existential crisis. I was like, all good. Then the next day, I went to, like, a cooking class in the holidays. And the same, like, three cars and three people kept turning up. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's happening. And then, like, I had to, like, wait in reception for a bit. And the lady was, like, gaslighting me into thinking I was in The Truman Show.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, dude, I'm 11. Like, I got so freaked out. And then I had to go and cook, like, I don't even remember. I had to cook some food after that. And I was like, no, it can't be.
You know, like, yeah, like the first time I saw this movie was like, I want to say I was like,
it's like doing a side.
I
want to
say I was like,
filler episode.
I think I want to say I was seven.
Wow, yeah.
And I think we saw this movie. My whole family saw it, and I think it's because I don't know, like Jim Carrey equals funny kid movie.
It's Eternal Sunshine's a funny kid.
And
movie.
I don't think like I don't think I even like actually registered like. What really this movie was. So I never counted that as my first viewing. I saw it again like 2 years ago and I counted that as my first viewing because like, it was like, okay, I'm like slightly older where I can actually like kind of understand what's going on in this movie. And yeah, technically that's the first time I saw it. So, you know, what do you think about this film?
I think there's very few flaws.
Yeah.
I think there's almost nothing where I can say, like, that wasn't great.
You know, this is one of those movies where it's like, you know, there's obviously such thing as, like, movies, you know, like, movie tropes that happen, you know, that you'll see in lots of kinds of movies.
It's kind of the first time they did this. Right?
This is the first and last, we'll get into when they did it again the year after. But this is kind of one of those tropes. That if you ever try to do it again, people will go like, that's just Truman Show.
Yeah. I think it's
you cannot do a movie like this again. Not just because we'll get into it more, but the media landscape we live in now.
Yeah.
It's not even like it's not even like a satire. It's just it's like this is just
article.
What it is. This is like you turn on the TV and like, you know, it's
I wouldn't
right
be shocked
there.
If someone said that like the Truman Show is happening. I'd be like, well, just add it to the list.
No,
because
I mean,
this year. Genuinely, it would be the bottom of the pile of weirdest things that's
know,
happened this
I know,
year.
I know. But like, we live.
I mean, we've had like the entire NBA got like all of its stars turn out to be horrible people. Like, the finals.
Yeah, like, it's only. Like, it hasn't even been 3 months yet, and it's already just like, jeez.
Already, it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, when people were like, oh, it's the first, like, I think it might have been last year actually, it was like the WTF year where it starts on WTF. And it's like, it's going to be a wacky year. Well, clearly this year is worse. Like,
No, it's, yeah, gone there, yeah. No, for me, like, this movie is like, I mean, we live in a world where like, I don't know, like, what examples can I give? Like,
that's allowed to be on here?
No. I'm just thinking like,
the fact that there's like thousands and thousands of hours of like,
Just reality TV.
Reality
just
TV reality. With world celebrities doing...
You know? Not even, no, it's not even... It's like, if world celebrities would be one thing.
No, I'm talking about the fact that on a little, you know, quite well-known island, there is a really messed up reality TV show version of Friends with the world celebrity cast.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, ooh.
No,
and
like...
even, like, reality TV now.
Yeah, like we've just got, like...
Like, the wives of the
I was thinking of, like...
housewives or something like that. And
I mean...
it's just, like... It's just people's lives
yeah, yeah,
now.
Yeah,
it's
no, like, I was thinking of that, what was that one? I was like, this will, not against my own will, but like there was nothing else on the TV. And I was like, no, because I was in a hotel and like, you know,
I could. What did you watch?
Oh, what's it called? Like,
the Kardashians one.
Oh, God, no, I haven't
but
never
there's
seen,
no
I've seen
to that.
That.
Like, nowadays,
there's
what's, no
was it like the
Real Housewives
of Beverly Hills, I want to say?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I really don't know this stuff.
But like,
reality TV is really
no
trashy. So,
there's like, no plot. It's genuinely just like a camera crew.
It's just like people's lives. And like, I see ones, and I remember even when I was young, there was this one where it's like, you could search up if I've got it wrong, but I think it's called Rich House, Poor House, where like a rich.
Oh my God. What do you think? A rich family
rich
put it in a poor house
and
poor a poor family.
Family
in the rich house. And then
you
they
know?
Have to go back. And I'm just like, that's going to be the most depressing thing ever to go back. If you're the poor family and you've been like living in the rich house for a week, and then it's like, whoop, you got to go back now.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's just like, people's
or Undercover Boss, that one too. Do you get? Do you know that?
Oh, okay. But like, I feel that
that's funny.
I feel like
and they all just trash on the boss without realizing he's right there.
You know, but I feel that like we, it's just that like this, it's really prophetic because I wasn't around in 1998, but as far back as I know, reality TV wasn't really a thing at that point.
I think it's more game shows that had like that kind of.
It wasn't. Yeah, it was just like.
I mean, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like pre-Big Brother. So
yeah, okay, this was pre-Big Brother, which really, like, the whole reality TV thing kind of went just, like, through
crazy.
The roof at
daytime
that point.
TV went off.
I know. Like, you cannot watch daytime TV, at least in the UK.
I mean, who's watching daytime TV anyway?
Well, I was in a hotel, so I had to watch The Real Housewives.
If you're daytime TV, like... if you're watching that stuff, that is on you to be watching. Like, that is not their fault. They put that there so the least amount of people with jobs and like school can't watch it.
I know, like
so if you're watching that, I mean, come on, man. There's better things to be doing.
Yeah, but like it's
you
like
you can watch a movie, you could go outside.
I know, like, I know.
Cable
but like
TV is not.
Yeah, so like with this, it's like you watch it and there are shows. I'm not sure if there's any on right now, but there are shows where, like, you're just, like, it's not even, like, there's a gimmick. Like, at least reality.
It's just
a
dude's life.
Yeah, yeah, when, at least Love Island, at least there's a gimmick there that would entice a certain group of people. Who that group of people is up to, like...
No, but, like, genuinely, like, the Kardashians, the gimmick is they're famous.
Yeah.
And why are they famous? For the TV show.
I don't really know, actually.
It's just people's lives, like...
Yeah, exactly, but, like, at least there's a gimmick. You're watching a bunch of famous people, like, rich people do rich things and live their happy, rich life.
Look at how
okay?
people are.
I know. Or, like, you're watching a bunch of, like, busybodies, you know, kind of just, like... Just like chat about stuff. I don't know. I didn't finish that episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I didn't really get into it. But like, yeah, but there are shows like this one where
we
it's just like
no, we brought you back the episode.
But it's like there are shows where it's just like there's no gimmick. It's just like there's a person's life. And like I think we live in a world, and especially back then, it was like the kind of thing, like I think part of the reason why they chose Jim Carrey, why Ed Harris, not Ed Harris, I'm sorry, Peter Weir wanted Jim Carrey was because he was at this point, because the timeline is Ace Ventura, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber.
Crazy run.
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, the Batman Forever, The Cable Guy. And then, like, I think at that point, that's when casting starts.
But I mean,
that guy is like the big, like the most, one of the most famous people in the world. And it's that kind of thing where, like, there was, and again, this just shows how much the media landscape has changed. There was no privacy. He felt that, like, you know, the press always in his face, you know, when he was, you know, when he was ever dating someone, you know, the press would be like, you know, tabloids and stuff like that. And we live in a world where, like, but at least back in the 90s, where like celebrities, they were like, you didn't know the personal lives of celebrities. You know, it's not nowadays where like you're hearing about like what's happening with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. Like, you know the ins and outs of that relationship. No, back then you really didn't know. Okay, celebrities were kind of like on a higher pedestal than normal people. Now nowadays celebrities, because of I guess just like social media, you just
it's
like
a zoo, man.
You just know.
People just like watch and laugh at celebrities.
It's not even you. Okay. Because celebrities' lives are just out there and you know what's happening in their life.
I mean, I was in a lesson and someone shouts out, I don't know who they are, but some famous lady got pregnant. I was like, why does that matter? It's like, wow.
It's like, yeah, it's just...
But I mean, the stuff you were saying with Jim Carrey, like, this movie is an example of probably the best ever, like, use of audience bias, where they, like, cast someone who the audience already knows would make sense. Like, when you watch The Truman Show and you know who Jim Carrey is, especially for a 90s audience, and, like, you know who he is, you walk into the movie with predispositions about his character. Like, you already think, oh, he's going to be funny and likable and stuff. So when you walk in and the beginning half of The Truman Show, he is funny and likable, you're like, oh, great, like, I know who Truman is. Mm-hmm. And then when you start then subverting it and, like, playing around with, like, how you view that, the audience perception is quite useful in that way. And I think, especially with this trope, like, Jim Carrey's the best choice, and it's probably, like, the best use of his character.
Yeah, definitely. Like, this was at a time where, like, and I think all comedians kind of go through this moment. There's always a moment, I feel, where, like, they go, like, okay, it's been fun doing comedic stuff, but I kind of want to be serious. Yeah. And there's always a moment. And...
apart from Kevin Hart, I don't think he's done that ever.
No, I was actually thinking Will Ferrell. Like, I don't think he's actually ever done anything serious.
He must have. I mean, Adam Sandler did it twice.
Yeah. But like Will Ferrell.
That's crazy. He turned his career around.
No, he's done it like plenty of times.
He went like degrees. Steady downfall, and then he did Punch Drunk Love, and it's like kind of up a bit, and then downfall.
No, it's not even that. It's just like he had his thing, and then like every so often he kind of goes like, yeah, I can act.
He goes, by the way.
You know, it's not like someone like, I don't know, Tom Hanks, who is like, yeah, I'm done with comedy. I'm just going to focus on doing drama. And like with
Jim. I kind of respect that. Or like, that's not his name. Steve Carell. Like, he does that a lot too.
I was gonna say,
he's like, look at me, I can do Minions, and now look at me, I can do like Little Miss Sunshine. How do you like that?
I was thinking about Adam Scott.
Oh yeah, that's crazy
find and Step Brothers.
I was like, what is this guy?
And I was like, this isn't going to
And he's like the worst dude ever.
Oh
in that
my
movie.
God, him just tormenting
he's
his family.
Evil, bro.
Yeah, but like, yeah, it's that kind of thing where like, you know, he wants to like do more serious stuff. And when they offered the role to him, it was just like, he took it like that. And I think anybody would just take it like that.
But this is a great casting of like character made for compared to like Shaq in Steel. For example, and if you guys know that little niche pick, awful.
And like for me, this is one of those movies that really reward like extra viewing again, because it's like it's the little things, and it's the little things that really make up a lot. Where like it's so interesting because like you do watch TV shows that are reality TV, and they do this where it's like they'll do like product placement during the thing. Like, I could go right now, like, this was fun. Oh, no, I have already seen that. No, but like
that scene with the cocoa where she's like, that's the most unnerving thing ever.
Bro, what if somebody just like, I just kind of like stopped and I just went like, wow, this Microsoft laptop, it works great at every household should have one.
When you read like badly written 50s TV show
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. These cigars.
Or they're like explaining everything.
Nothing's better than Laramie cigars.
They do that in Netflix now. They have a rule where like a character must explain at least twice what is going on, so people who are like scrolling on their phones can catch up.
Oh my god, because like you're not actually watching, they know that you're not actually locked in, so they have to kind of like
why I can't
again the media
if
landscape
they win Warner Bros. I'm gonna riot.
And like it's kind of crazy because
when I'm gonna start dirtbagging. When media's gone, I'm just gonna get in a car and leave.
Let me ask you something. How long do you think it would have taken? For like, do you think, because I think The Hague, who like, The Hague,
sorry.
I need to like, Okay, The Hague, the seat of the government, and see, like, this is a bit of, like, education right now, isn't it? The seat of the government and administrative center of the Netherlands on the North Sea coast, capital of province. So basically, these people who are, like, part of the government, yeah, in the movie, they, like, it's really weird. I don't really know why it's like that, but The Hague calls the office of where the company that's doing it. And then they suddenly cut. And, like, it's kind of like a humanitarian, like,
in
The Hague.
What, sorry?
In The Truman Show.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, how long do you think it would have taken? Do you think a show like this would even get on the air?
Yeah. Well, it depends where.
Like, because we probably will get there someday, but we haven't gotten to the point where we're like, you know, a corporation is buying a child. And it's a child is owned by
honestly,
a corporation.
I can see that happening. That's
dystopian right there.
That's
honestly,
not
that,
wild to me. Especially
honestly, that
year,
is
man.
Still that is still kind of wild.
If Netflix
to me.
Bought a kid and was like, you know what? Who wants to see Malcolm in the Middle IRL? Like,
oh
I wouldn't be shocked.
And some things in this movie are like some things in this movie are really interesting to think about because they're kind of subtextual. Like, the scene where, like, Truman is, like, going with his mom and his wife, he's going through the, his pictures of him when he was young. And the mom is like, oh, Truman, I would love to have a child before I go. She wants to have
a kid. But
like, Truman,
yeah.
to have a kid. Bro, I don't know. I don't know if this is true. But I felt that's a way of the show kind of going, like, when Truman dies,
yo, Loki, what
do
happened?
We have another person ready to go?
Yeah, but then that poses
do you know how dystopian that's kind of
the stuff. Lady who plays his wife, if they have a kid, she's getting paid to be his wife?
Yeah.
Like, is that prostitution? Like, is that legal?
And, like, yeah, and it's the quite interesting thing.
Also, this is, like, for the 90s, when you watch something like this and, like, there's this stuff of everyone's paid and he's not, when you think about it as an actor.
Yeah, that's...
It's a modern day take on slavery.
It is technically... Like, I've never thought about it that way, but it technically is.
It's slavery. They entrap
because,
him.
But he doesn't know. It's slavery that he doesn't know he's in, okay? And, like, let me ask you, how long do you think it would have taken you to find out that you were in...
I purely because I'm desperate to go places. If it was me as I am, I don't think I'd last that long. I think they'd get annoyed at me constantly trying to like escape and like find another place. And because you know, there's this visit where he's like, I want to go to Fiji, and like he never gets to go. I don't think I could do that of like not going.
Yeah,
I'd find a way.
But I think, I mean, like I find it really I don't. Believe this is kind of one of my nitpicks with it, but I don't believe that like there would not be for the period of how old is Truman in this, like 30 something.
Yeah.
For that period, there would be no person would stumble on their line. None of the lights would break.
They do though.
But
no, I think the point is that it has.
Yeah.
But
and I do love they cover a lot of loopholes in. Like they do say, oh, wouldn't somebody just try like tell Truman? Okay. They show that a bunch of people have got on the show to tell him that it's like fake and they've been taken off, you know? Like, it's the little things that like kind of make you think, oh, they actually thought
yeah, well,
through
that bit
this.
Where, like, it shows that his dad like tries to come back and they like take his dad out.
I know. It's just like the themes in this thing is.
And
is
there's so many like subliminal messages, like the scene in the, when he goes to the travel bureau. And she has a napkin on because she's just had makeup because she wasn't intended to be there.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't even know that.
Or like...
Oh, for me, it's like on the... Yeah, you know.
On the wall, it says it could happen to
you. It could happen.
The lightning bolt
from
the plane.
What travel agency would have on their wall? Don't travel.
Or like when the rain...
You could get struck by lightning.
Or when the rain is only on him.
Oh.
When his best... When Marlon is stocking the vending machine, he runs out of cans to put in there. So when Truman turns, he takes them all out. So that when Truman turns back, he's still stocking
Yo,
it up.
That's actually crazy. You know, again, this
or
is what I mean when
moons,
like...
There's two moons in the sky.
Yeah, this is what I mean when it revolts.
When he says the big guy has a really nice paintbrush, He's talking about the director who designed the set.
You know, and it's like, for me,
it's so smart.
It is genuinely so smart. I couldn't even get
Or how they freak out when Truman's like pretending to dig in the garden when he's been downstairs, and they start freaking out, like, where is Truman?
But and then, like, it's so dystopian when, like, the entire town is just, like, trying to look for him. Like, what? And this is, like, how you have children on the show, and they're like, oh, look, it's the guy from TV. And it's just, like, wow. It really is just, like, a really realistic version of what would happen. And there is this film, I've never seen it, but I can take that. I'm just gonna say wrong place, wrong time, because it was a film called Ed TV that came out the year after. You've never heard of Ed TV?
With Matthew McConaughey.
Look, yeah. So I think it's less so we're like getting on the bandwagon. I think it's more so we just came out at the wrong time. So it's a comedy about a video store clerk who becomes an unwitting celebrity when his life is broadcast 24/7 on the cable network.
There's another movie. There's a Korean. No, this was a real life thing.
Yeah,
in
that's
Korea.
What. Yeah, I know.
And
yeah.
Like this dude was like kept in an apartment his whole life.
Oh, it's about Old Boy.
No, it's not a movie. It's a real thing that happened.
Yeah,
And then they let him out and they filmed it all. Or something along those lines. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, you know, that's just like, that is, it's just like, it's such an interesting, like, as a plot, it's a plot that, at least in my opinion, sadly, that you can only do it once. Because for me, it's such an interesting idea, you know. Huh?
Kind of like Groundhog
Day. Well, Groundhog Day is like, kind of like something that like, it's
you
such
can still
a simple idea that you could probably do again. There are so many complexities. And nowadays, again, in the media landscape that we live in, where, like, people are just, like, on TV, you know? We live in this era of 50 minutes of fame, okay? Yeah. Average people who don't really have that much skill or anything particularly, you know, impressive about them are, you know, they get their 15 minutes on fame, and sometimes it lasts sometimes a lot longer than it really should. But, you know, and at least back in the 90s, 15 minutes of fame wasn't really that big of a thing. Okay, unless you were on TV and, like, I don't know, Got Milk. I don't know, man. Something like that. But, yeah, that's a discussion for another day, isn't it? And this movie was just, like, so prophetic that I don't think if you ever try to make a movie like this again, it would ever work.
I kind of feel like a lot of its depth, obviously it's a movie that inherently is supposed to be very deep, but quite a lot of it was accidental. I think that when they made it in the 90s, it was more of a commentary about celebrity culture than anything. And it's now, with everything that's happened, that it's taken on this form.
Yeah.
It got like a new mantle.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like,
it's like not intentionally this way.
I don't think this is me just personally, this is my personal opinion, but I don't think this is intentionally supposed to be a satire.
No, I think it was supposed to be a Jim Carrey comedy with a bit more depth, like,
yeah,
for adults.
But maybe only nowadays has it become a satire, because we live in a world where it's just like stuff like this always happens. So this is taking everything that happens now to like its most illogical extreme.
Yeah, but like that being said, I think there's some hallmarks of it that definitely make it satirical. Like, I think it's like, it was...
Oh, yeah, nowadays we can look at it.
Even then, like, I think it was written by a crazy dude who had, like, some worries about society, and he framed it as an easily watchable comedy. The camera work, I know that's more of a directorial thing, but the way the cameras work in the film is very much... I mean, it's almost horror movie-esque, the way they film it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's... it's very... not everything... I can't remember if it's everything, but I think a lot of it is just like kind of tiny cameras. So everything is very like, you know, when you look into somebody's house and
it's
you,
like claustrophobic.
Yeah, like you kind of, it's kind of like that spherical, like kind of, yeah, you're that fisheye. Yeah, yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and it's like, so it really makes everything like really
it's quite
like
horrific
coming in.
The way it's,
I know.
And I mean, that we have to talk about it. The final scene, that is the most...
That's one of the most, like, transcendent things I've
ever seen. That was, first of all, amazing way to end a movie. Secondly, that is the thing that, to me, stops it from being a funny comedy, is that bit where he looks out into everything he's ever known. The ocean he crossed was not that... By the way, they were trying to kill him.
God.
They're trying to kill him when he's in the
boat. Bro was not, like,
he
letting
up. He gets up these stairs, and, you know, he's realizing that the sky he knew as a kid... And everyone, you know, when you're a kid, everyone looks up into the sky and, like, sits on the grass, and it's like a cliche. Yeah. That sky he looked at, the moons he looked at as a kid, like, everything he's ever known, he looks back on, and then he takes a bow, and he leaves.
I loved the bit before that, where it's just like... It's, and that really made me, like, this guy can actually, like, really act. Because it was, like, it was the bit where, like... And it comes out of nowhere. I promise you, there's not a single person in the world who, when that boat was going across and when it breaks through that scenery, anybody thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it still gets me every time where, like, the spike of the boat just goes through the scenery. Okay? Because it's like, oh, jeez. And, like, that bit where it's just the music and you can't hear him crying and, like, kind of, like, slamming the wall.
Mm.
You know, that's great. But that's not the bit of the ending I like the most. The bit of the ending I like the most, and the bit where I'm like, oh, this movie hit the nail on the head, was the bit where we see and we follow, like, a group of people on the outside world who are always, you know, you got the guy in the bathtub, you got that people in the bar, you got this, like, you know, like, police or...
And the old ladies. Yeah.
Who've been cheering on and been watching it, they've got, like, Truman pillows and stuff like that. When it finally ends... The movie ends with, okay, what's it like? Let's find something else to watch. Bro, that is actually, like, so you can actually write an essay dissecting those last few lines.
The old ladies, they wear the same nightdress that his wife wears in the film because everything is sold. But I mean,
And those like motors that lawnmower is being sold. But for me, it's like,
no, but the scene where he's talking to the creator, who he doesn't know who he is because he's never spoken to him, it's kind of like he's speaking to his God, right? He's there.
Yeah.
And he's looking up and he's like, what is this? And the guy goes, say something. You're on television, for God's sake. Mm. Like, wow. That is jeez.
No, but it's just like...
And he's telling him nothing is real. You know, you were the star. And he's like, why? And he's like, I made you famous. I gave you everything. And he was like, why did you do it? He's like, say something. You're on television. And he goes like... You know, he goes, good morning, good evening. And in case he goes, yeah, good night. And he just leaves.
And it's like,
boom.
That's great. So, like, yeah, this movie got nominated for 3 Academy Awards. Jim Carrey didn't get his Oscar nomination.
He should have. I felt. He should. Who was he up against?
As far as I can remember, it's 1998. So I want to say Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan, who I think won.
I feel like
Shakespeare in Love is this year? I want to say.
I feel like. I still think Jim Carrey should win.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, this is one of those movies that I would undoubtedly, and it's not like an incredibly niche pick, but it's still, you know, not many people do. I would put it in my top 5 films.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, I haven't delved into the 50s and stuff yet. But.
Okay, yeah. But, like, okay, I would do, like, highest grossing of 1997, but we've already done that. So do you want to do 1998, but we've already done that. So do you want to do 1997?
Sure, but we're going to run through it fast.
Yes, we will. Okay. The first one.
Oh man, I love this movie. I love it.
Just dissecting it now just made me think about it so much. Okay, the first one.
Truman, after the boat crash, where his hair's all messed up and he has like, that's the hardest fit of the entire film, where he's got his fisherman sweater on. And then he's like pausing at the door and he doesn't know if he wants to go out because he's worried about, you know, what's actually out there and stuff.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay, the first one is a movie that I don't even know how crack the top 10. What? You're not even gonna get it. I'm just gonna say it honestly. It's this movie called The Full Monty.
I think I've heard of that.
It's like this British movie,
Monty Python,
set in Sheffield. Set in Sheffield in Northern England during the 90s, about 6 unemployed men. 4 of them are steel workers. So
it's a parody.
Who do something I don't think I can say on the air. So, you know, there we go. The next one is a movie starring Gary Oldman, Bruce Willis, and Milo Djokovic. It's the one where it has, like, Chris Tucker as, like, that guy. As, like, it's, like, I think it's set in space. The Fifth Element.
Oh, I do know that.
Yeah,
Chris
yeah.
Chris Tucker is the space pimp.
No, yeah. But yeah, exactly. That's genuinely the only thing I know about it. Okay, the next one is...
Oh, okay. He wears like leopard print and his hair's like...
Okay, the next one is a romantic comedy that I honestly think you're not going to get because you don't like romantic comedies.
Try me. I think I know more than you think.
I don't even know. If I don't know it, 97. My Best Friend's Wedding.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. The next one is actually very fitting. It stars Jim Carrey as a lawyer.
Oh, no. Oh, Liar, Liar.
There we go. If you didn't get that, like,
the pen is royal blue.
Okay, the next one is one starring Jack Nicholson. And Helen Hunt.
As Good as It Gets.
Yes.
The scene where he's got all of the hexagonals and he's like tiptoeing between them.
Okay, the next one stars Harrison Ford in...
Oh, dear.
Another political thriller because he was just on
with
this.
F-Force 1.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. The next one is a Bond movie starring Pierce Brosnan. I think it's his first Bond movie. Is it? It's the second. It's the second Bond movie after...
Goldfinger?
He did Golden Eyes first. Then after this, World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day. But which one is this
From
one?
Rush With Love?
No, that's way too early.
That's way too early.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Their titles are all really close to each other. And unless you're really in with the know-how of like...
I think I've only seen that once.
The next one is... it's one of the... I want to say... It is a really famous movie. Everybody
just
knows
it. Just for clarification, I have heard of My Best Friend's Wedding.
Okay. if you haven't, like, I don't even blame you. The next one is a science fiction comedy. It's pretty famous. You know, starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones.
Men in Black.
Yeah, Men in Black.
Is it One?
One, yeah. The next one is the sequel to, I want to say, the highest grossing movie at that point until another movie that comes out this year that we'll get to came out. It's not very good. you would know because you binge watched like the entire series. The entire franchise.
Spider-Man 3?
No. What? No, it's 1997.
I binge watched the entire franchise.
Yes. Okay, it's the second one, sequel to the biggest movie of 1993.
Who's in it?
If I give that away, it's
just... Oh my god, Jurassic Park 2.
Yes, The Lost
World. Oh my god, I forgot I binge watched the entirety of that with my brother.
The dinosaur to a zoo.
2 is overhated. I kind of like it.
Okay, the next one is...
It's a guilty pleasure, but I can't...
The next one is... I don't have the ranking in my head, but I want to say it's top 5 highest grossing films of all time. You know it. Even if you haven't seen it, you know it. Leonardo DiCaprio. Kate Winslet. Yeah. Like $2
billion. Didn't even need to tell me the second person.
I like $2 billion. What?
What can I say? Teenagers love Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, just teenage girls, honestly.
They adore that man.
I don't think I don't. Oh snap! That took me way too long.
Whoops.
Oh my god.
Who's next?
That's movie is making more than $2 billion?
Is that it? Oh.
Yeah. Can I just check what was the movie that won Best Picture?
98.
Of 98. Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, but Peter Weir won for the BAFTAs. For The Truman Show.
BAFTA.
Yeah.
Was it good?
What are we rating this movie?
5.
5. I've got to say 5, honestly.
I mean, what else are you going to say? Good. Yeah. Like, there's actually nothing wrong with it.
Like,
anyway,
yeah.
I've been Eddie.
Yeah, I've been Noah.
Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah. No, that was actually...